Well, thank you very much for joining us. And I suppose I should start by saying, Ohayou gozaimasu, or konnichiwa. Japan's definitely in our thoughts as we do this week's podcast. And Eric, it's been on your mind as well.
It has. You know, I went through the Loma Prieta earthquake here in San Francisco in 1989, and that was a shaky, rattling experience, literally and, you know, emotionally and experientially, and it was difficult. And, of course, what Japan's going through right now is, you know, orders of magnitude more serious and, you know, frankly, almost unbelievable when you look at the film footage of what these poor people are having to go through. And, of course, what we talk about here, Jonathan, you and I, you know, has to do with the Internet. And I just recently put up a blog and am happy to talk about right now, or maybe not happy, but, you know, feel it's worthwhile to talk about, you know, the world of the Internet vis-a-vis the real world. And, of course, once upon a time, you know, we walked the earth and everything was right there in front of us, you know, as a matter of actuality. We've moved more and more, you know, online over time. You know, many of us spend the vast majority of our time in front of a computer screen or looking into our handheld smartphones and the like. And sometimes it's easy to forget where we are and what's really happening around us. And when a natural phenomenon like an earthquake, a tsunami, a volcano, a tornado, or a hurricane comes along. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I've been through tornadoes and hurricanes and also by an erupting volcano in my life, and here to tell the tales. But, you know, they remind you very quickly, you know, that you're really on, well, I would say terra firma, but it's not always so firma. You know, we need to be aware of our surroundings. How does this play into the Internet? Well, a lot of us, you know, have some connection to people that are in Japan, and almost immediately you start seeing postings or getting messages from your friends on Facebook or otherwise saying, you know, they're okay, or here's where they are, or here's how they can be reached, or here's what needs to be done. And, you know, the Internet serves a valuable function in terms of connection that way. Not only that, you know, we're seeing more and more, you know, efforts being mobilized and marshaled to help people in need right now that are struggling with this enormous tragedy to get the resources to them and the assistance they need. And a lot of that's being driven online also. Rescue efforts can also be targeted vis-a-vis, you know, Internet connections. Now, undoubtedly, when there's such a massive tragedy like this or natural phenomenon that wreaks havoc, you know, there will be some people that will not be able to get in touch necessarily through the Internet. But there is a great benefit to it. And those are my opening thoughts. Jonathan, I'd be interested in yours.
Yeah, very interesting, Eric. I think in some respects, I think my thoughts are dominated by much more negative incidents, regrettably. Just today, for example, the BBC, our state broadcaster here, has had to quash rumors that it was behind what can only be described as a campaign of terror in the Philippines. It is alleged that some frankly despicable scammers who seem to have been trying to install Trojan viruses had sent an email to around the world telling people in the Philippines to go inside and seal up their doors and get their tablets ready to take because the nuclear fallout cloud was heading their way. So I think you're right to concentrate on the positive aspects of the Internet, and they're very heartening in this distressing time for our friends in Japan. But equally, there are, I'm trying to think of a nicer word than low-life scum, Eric, but hopefully you'll bear with me, who use the Internet. And undoubtedly, we're going to see many more of these despicable scams with that are masquerading as charitable ventures, just trying to get people to reach for that click button and download a virus. So you're right that the Internet does bring out the best in people at times, but regrettably, sometimes the worst as well.
That's true. And, you know, and as I've said before when I lecture on the topic, you know, bad actors have existed since the beginning of time. And bad actors will seek to take advantage whenever they can in all sorts of contexts. And it's particularly despicable, as you say, and regrettable that, you know, in the face of such an enormous, horrendous tragedy, that, you know, some would want to, you know, profit and benefit from that. So you certainly make a good point that there needs to be caution, so that people are not taken advantage of when they have good motivations to help. But we would hope that those fears would not get in the way of people, you know, participating and lending assistance through, you know, viable, legitimate organizations and websites.
Yeah, and another thing that's occurred to me recently, looking at both the earthquake in Japan and in New Zealand, and also the ash cloud volcanic eruptions here in Europe. I don't often lie awake at night, Eric, thinking of force majeure clauses, but it seems to me that that is one thing that we need to revisit now that obviously the world is changing climactically, and given that we're more and more reliant on technology. I've seen, for example, I think the standard, I don't know about yours, but the standard force majeure clause that we use in the UK doesn't include volcanic eruption. And so I think for a lot of people, given extreme weather incidents and given the natural disasters that seem to be happening at a greater and greater rate, I guess a trivial but important step that people ought to take would be to look at contractual requirements, look at the disaster provisions that exist with key suppliers, because as you say, as we become more and more reliant on the internet, then these disasters leave us more and more vulnerable.
Right, and for those of you who are listening that don't are not familiar with the term that Jonathan used, what that is a clause in a contract that essentially will excuse otherwise required performance in the event there's sometimes referred to as an act of God, although frankly a benevolent God wouldn't do this, but if you can't fulfill your obligations under a contract because of interruption caused by an earthquake or a tsunami or a flood or fires and things like that, then the question is, you know, how detailed is that? You know, when is performance truly excused? We can certainly see what's happening in Japan right now where, you know, for example, you know, so many manufacturing operations just cannot function as a result of the disaster. So are they in breach of contract because they're not performing? Well, not necessarily, depending on the contractual language. But there, this points out there's so many different permutations and ramifications when an event like this happens. I mean, not only are nuclear power plants potentially in meltdown and infrastructure down, you know, people facing disease, stock markets crashing, but then there are all these contractual issues as well. So we just wanted to, you know, say that we're deeply saddened by recent events, point out how there is at least some connection to the Internet, obviously. And frankly, another point about the Internet is we can now all witness and almost be firsthand viewers of disasters as they happen now that, you know, smartphones have, you know, video and camera functions and they're everywhere and then things get posted online right away. It's remarkable, really. And we've probably, you know, most people now have seen, you know, many times over the effects and the happening of the tsunami in Japan.
Yeah. Now, I just want to say two more things, Eric. We normally give out our own web addresses at the end of these bulletins, and we will as well. But obviously, we don't charge for these podcasts. If you feel moved to give us some money, and you've liked what you've heard over the last, whatever it is, 16, 17 episodes, don't give the money to Eric and I. Give it either to the Red Cross, which is www.redcross.org, or to the Salvation Army, which is www.salvationarmyusa.org, is the US version. They've both set up disaster relief funds for the Japanese disaster. Well, we at Duane Morris have committed to giving them some money. And if you're getting something out of these podcasts and you feel so moved, we'd be grateful if you joined us in that effort. So all that remains is for us to give our email addresses as well. Eric and I are quite happy to send you those links if you would like them, and direct you to the specific parts of the Salvation Army and American Red Cross sites. So my email address is jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. And Eric?
Mine is ejsinrod, E-J-S-I-N-R-O-D, @duanemorris.com. Our website is duanemorris.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and too bad we have to be a little more somber this week. We tend to be somewhat jovial in other podcasts, but you know, this is a time of some solemnity. So thank you for joining us, and we'll be back at you next week, hopefully in better spirits. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening.